Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, October 6th, 2022. You're going to see I am wearing a Youngstown Marathon polo that our guests were nice enough to bring me today. So I'm going to bring them on in a few minutes. But first, we're going to bring in our normal Thursday guests. So what we do on Thursdays, just to give everybody a little rundown here, we're going to talk a little high school sports here in a second with our guest that just appeared on screen there, Austin Malutik. Austin, how you doing?
I'm good, Justin. How are you?
Oh, I can't. Hold on 1 second. We're going to make sure we connect with your audio. Joe, I can't hear Austin. 1 second, Austin. Right. Austin, go ahead. Give me a sound check here.
Can you hear me, Justin?
Perfect. There we go. There we go.
All right.
Joe is very busy in the back. I gave him a ton of pre-show work, so we're working out the kinks with all my stuff that I'm doing on the side here. So, Austin, first of all, thank you for joining us, and how are we doing today?
It's going great. Beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio.
Yeah, maybe the last one we have here for a while. Yeah. But yeah, definitely 70 and mostly sunny or most partly cloudy, whatever you want to call it. So, Austin, let's go over some of our high school football stuff. First of all, last weekend, normally we call this the Vinny Ballone segment from Lowville. He's been lighting it up. Who were some of the top performers of last weekend on the high school gridiron?
Yeah, definitely. One of them I want to give is to Liberty quarterback Tyson Lawrence Watson. Last summer, he wasn't scheduled to be the quarterback for this Leopards team. But D.C. Farrell, obviously from Liberty, transfers, and so now he gets the starting role. You know, he had 4 touchdowns last week. He had 3 of them just in the fourth quarter himself, over 270 passing yards. A nice win for Liberty last week against the champion team, who's been surprising some schools this year. So a nice win for Liberty last week. So that's where I think our biggest player of the week was last week.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. Very good. So it's getting a little bit colder starting on Friday. Running games are going to kind of be, you know, hopefully more in vogue here with some of our high school teams. Give us some good matchups to look for this coming weekend.
Well, I think we have a lot of great games in the docket, a lot of huge games, a lot of computer points for a lot of these schools. Obviously, Austin Fitch has another huge game. They're 6-1. They're going to go up to Wadsworth. They're 5-2. It's a big game for Austintown Fitch, so definitely interested to see if they can pull it out. Another interesting game, I think, is Hubbard at Girard. Hubbard comes in 5-2. Girard's 4-3 right now. Girard sits at number one in Division Four, but if they obviously losing the quarterback for the season hurts. So if they can, I think Hubbard beats them on the road tomorrow night, and if West Branch can get a win, which they play a very good Alliance team, if West Branch wins, I think they get the one in Division Four. But obviously, we still have a few weeks left to go. Other interesting games to look at. I think Struthers at Niles is huge for Struthers. Struthers wins out. I think they're in. Poland goes to Lakeview. Poland needs to win out as well. That's going to be an interesting Struthers-Poland Week 10 game. Definitely to see probably who gets in and who doesn't get in. Salem's got a big game at home against Clareton. So a lot of interesting games, a lot of huge games this week in the high school area.
Okay. All right. Very good. Austin, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Early on, we got a few more weeks in the regular season to go. Who would be, and I know this isn't a high school award, but give me maybe your top three performers overall as a whole season thus far. Obviously, I know there's going to be a quarterback or two in there, but who would be some of the top performers as the season has gone from a whole?
Yeah. Well, one of them, I think, is Christian Lynch, the running back over at Ursuline. He had a strong performance all season long. To do what he's been doing after, you know, filling a DeMarcus McElroy role was not easy. But what Christian's done all season long, he's looked really well. He had a tough game last week from what I heard.
Oh, getting a text. Austin, you there?
Sorry, I got a phone call from people in Texas. Not sure what they wanted. I think Christian Lynch is one of them. Obviously, you talk about Vinny Ballone. Billy Skirpak from South Range, their quarterback, he's looking really good. And obviously, Brock Lowry from Camfield, he looks pretty good as well. So a lot of quarterbacks, honestly, in this area are looking pretty good this year.
Very nice. Very nice. Austin, how many undefeated teams do we have left in the area?
We have 6, I want to say. 6. So, I'll count them for you right now. So we have South Range, we have Lowville, we have Valley Christian, and Southern, who I forgot to mention. They play each other this week. That's a huge game. I think that's it. So yeah, okay. South Range, Valley Christian, Southern Local, Lowville.
So four of our area teams still undefeated, you know, which a lot of them, you know, cannibalize each other, if you want to call it that, throughout the season, playing in conference play. But a lot of very, very good teams in our area, especially, you know, at that smaller school division. But South Range, obviously one of the powers, Fitch, one of the powers in our area. So looking forward to some great games this weekend. Austin, I'm going to give you the floor for about 2 minutes here before we bring in our other guests. Obviously, this is a huge weekend of sports starting tomorrow at noon. And, you know, you can even throw in the Cavs wine and gold scrimmage this weekend as they're tipping off here soon, too. So, Austin, you got the floor. Tell me your thoughts overall on some sports you're looking forward to this weekend.
Well, people always say, you know, Vegas and New York are a town that never sleeps. Well, I think this weekend's going to be Cleveland, because you look at it tomorrow at noon, the Guardians play a playoff game. You get high school football in Cleveland. That's big up there. That's happening all Saturday night. And then you turn around on Saturday, you have the Guardians, you have the Cavs scrimmage, you have the Buckeyes. Sunday, you have hopefully not a Guardians game, but we shall see. And then obviously the Browns are at home. I will be in Cleveland on Sunday. Looking forward to that. It's going to be crazy busy, and I know that for sure. Planning on going to both games if there is a game three on Sunday, but it's going to be a busy weekend in Cleveland. But I think that the Guardians should get it done against Tampa Bay, and then let's bring on the Yankees. I want the Yankees bad.
Absolutely, so, it's always fun to beat up a New York team.
Definitely, and then obviously Youngstown State at home this week. Can't forget about them. They played North Dakota. Talked to Coach Phillips during the week. I mean, he has not told us yet. Still to be determined who's going to be the quarterback this week. If it's going to be Davidson or Crenshaw, going to be interesting to see who gets it. I will not be surprised if both of them play. You're probably going to see that. I think Davidson might get the start, but you're going to see both of them in there for sure.
Yeah, Davidson came in and did some nice things against North Dakota State last week in the second half. Kind of made that a pretty tight game. One of the better performances YSU's had against them in the past, you know, several years. So, Austin, real quick, tell us where people can find you on social and your show. So anybody that wants some more high school information, especially, can follow you.
Definitely, Justin. Thank you. So Melodic_Live on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our website's melodiclive.org. All the scores from Friday night come on from 7 o'clock until 10:30. Each time someone scores, we got it covered. We're going to have crews everywhere tomorrow because tomorrow's a busy night. So we'll have interviews after the games as well. So a lot of important games tomorrow. And for the first time in a while, I have to go out. So that's when you know it's a busy night. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it, though. So all your scores tomorrow night on Melodic Lab. Definitely check it out. The only local company to cover all of high school football and all the scores, definitely.
Very nice. Very nice. And I'm not sure my status for tomorrow, but Austin is one of the guests on the Lions Den High School Pick'em Show. I sometimes, based on availability, can join, but we all make our high school picks for the week. So, Austin, again, thank you for joining us, and we'll touch base next week.
Definitely. I told Luke and Isaac, if the Guardians game's not over, I'm not coming on that show until after the game. So,
amen. You won't find me.
Uh-huh.
You won't
find me. Absolutely. There. Justin, always a pleasure.
Take care, buddy. Have a good day. All right. So before I bring in our next guests, I'm going to play a commercial here that was put forth by Apple Ridge Productions. So we're going to go ahead and play that right now and take a look and listen. Joe, do I need to press play on this?
You know, that's not the one, right?
Here, hold on 1 second. This one?
Nope. I sent it to him.
Did
you
use WeTransfer?
Yeah.
Joe, am I pressing play on this?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you don't have the right one. That's fine. But
I might need your assistance real quick. Oh, never mind. Got it. Well,
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. That's nice.
All right, so that was a little highlight video, but Joe and Nicole, who are joining us, we're going to play the real commercial for you later in the show. So want to bring in our guests now, Joe and Nicole from the Youngstown Marathon. So how are you guys doing today?
We are just doing fabulous, and thank you for having us. It's just wonderful to be back here again. I'm the vice president. Nicole has a couple roles. She's the secretary and our marketing director, too. So she is really the will behind this to keep it going with the marketing and so forth. So,
right. Well, thanks for having us. We are so proud of our event, and we are thrilled to showcase the park, Youngstown, and everything this race has to offer.
And, you know, just based on that highlight video, you know, we always say sometimes Youngstown gets a bad rap, but you just watch that little video and see all the like beautiful things and places there are around this community. And I mean, Youngstown's an amazing place.
It's an amazing place. And Mill Creek Park, like you know, is one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. It's the second largest metro park in the country. Mm-hmm. Only Central Park is bigger than that. And what we're doing this year with the marathon is we're focusing on the wildlife of Mill Creek Park.
Okay.
As well as the landmarks there too.
Okay. And in a minute, I might have you show your friend behind us.
Absolutely.
I think he might be out of screen, but we'll show him in a minute. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to say peak fall foliage for our part of Ohio is the 17th to 24th, and our race is the 23rd. And let me tell you, as someone who has run this course a million times and done this race, it's just beautiful. It's the best time to be in the park.
I had heard a term I had never heard before last year. And it still like makes me laugh every time. But leaf peeping, I didn't even realize that was a thing. But people, apparently it's a big thing. But like this time of year, like you said, it's like peak foliage. And you're running through Mill Creek Park, whether you're a runner or you're a spectator. Mm-hmm. And you can check this all out and it will be beautiful. So great time. Did you specifically pick this time of year for that? Or
that's a really good question, because it started out in June.
Okay.
And you know, regarding June, you have graduations, and you also have the track and field state championships, and a lot was going on at the time. And we as a board sat down and said, you know what, let's really change this to the peak time of Mill Creek Park, and that's the fall.
And I'm sure you guys, especially as runners, there's probably no better time of the year to run than that fall, that like cool morning air. You're not getting that crazy humidity in the summer or anything like that. So
it's a great time to run. You don't have to worry about it being too hot or too cold. It's just, I can't think of a better time to run in the park.
Absolutely. I mean, and you guys have such a great website too. I was checking that out earlier in the week. And, you know, for a lot of people, they may think, oh, Youngstown Marathon, I'm not a marathon runner. So tell them about the other options that there are for this race.
Sure. There's three other options for the race itself. There's a full marathon, 26.2 miles. There's a half marathon, 13.1 miles. And there's a 5K, too. So there's all three options there. And then the day before, we're having a health and wellness expo at the Davis YMCA. We're going to have a lot of vendors there that deal with health and wellness. Yo Fresh will be there. The Booty Camp from Boardman is going to be there. Lifted, a number of other ones. So you'll go there. You'll see all these vendors. And on top of that, we're going to have a Superheroes Kids Race in which the kids will be running with Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, Black Panther, Spider-Man. So is well diversified. We're going to have a little fun there. And Joe back there said he's volunteering to be the villain.
Okay. So- Love it. Love it. So it's very family friendly.
It's a very family friendly event. We even have families who bring their kids to run the 5K.
Mm-hmm.
I think our event is also very walker friendly too. If you want to walk the 5K, we have people who walk the half marathon even. That you get to be in the park, you get to be in a community surrounded of supportive runners and spectators. So I think that's another great thing. It's people who say, I want to do something in my community. Maybe I don't run half or full marathons. Come walk with us.
Okay.
We'd love to have you.
Very nice. So kind of open for, you know, the expert level, but also the beginner as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, the thing about the full marathon, as I told you before, is we were listed in Runner's World magazine as one of the more difficult marathons to run. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the elevation there and the hills and so forth. But in addition to that, you get the beauty of Mill Creek Park.
I mean, sure.
You get Latterman's Falls, Lake Glacier. We went past all those landmarks. And you never know what wildlife that you might see there, too.
No doubt. No doubt.
I think it's a whole experience for the weekend, to be honest. Our shirts are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We have the expo Saturday, which is, as a runner who's been running a long time, we have the best expo I've ever been to. And I've run in Vegas and I've run lots of other states. It's really inclusive of families and kids and everyone there. And then we have a celebration after you cross that finish line, and we have Penguin City there, and we have pizza and bagels, and we have music, and people hang out for a long time after, just celebrating that we get to be together and we had such a great time.
Yep.
So it's a whole weekend extravaganza.
So it's not just a race. It's a whole
right.
experience.
It's a whole community, the whole experience. And what Nicole just said, the music, we're very proud this year to announce that that Jackie Popovic of the Vindies will be singing the national anthem. We're very proud to have that. And she's also accepted to be the official starter of the marathon. I've seen her in a couple of shows. So instead of her giving her a gun, we're giving her an air horn because I know how she is on stage.
Yeah, she's got some serious energy.
Yes,
so,
she does.
Absolutely. She's not running, though, is she?
She has not committed to
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, she's got enough energy, I'm sure, to do
right.
it. So October 23rd, so we're less than 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
So now I'm sure you have a lot of people already signed up, but hypothetically, somebody's watching this, somebody's out there, they're like, I'm not sure. Where can they go to find out, like, obviously, a little bit more information?
It's easy. You can go to our website at youngstownmarathon.com. We also post very regularly on Facebook and Instagram, where there are links there. So you can sign up now. We have ambassadors out there who have discount codes.
Okay.
So if you follow us, you'll get that information, too. And, you know, I think it's also important to remember our beneficiaries are a huge part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 4 beneficiaries.
That's right.
And they're all local. They're all right here. So we just want everyone to know, too, that when you register, you are giving support to 4 very important local organizations. This year, we're supporting Ballet Western Reserve, who they do a beautiful job of making arts programs accessible to all students, regardless
okay.
of financial situation. American Heart Association, which again wants to support healthcare amongst all populations. The Youngstown Bluecoats, who we're longtime fans of theirs, who support veterans and the homeless. And they go out at 3 a.m. to make sure that people have coats and
oh, wow.
things during the winter. And also Cadence Care Network, which is a great organization that supports foster children and children in need.
Awesome. So come out, have a great time, mm-hmm. and support an even better cause.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Yep. So talk to us. You got one of them in front of you. Talk to us about some of your sponsors.
Sure.
And
our major sponsors are Second Soul, Mercy Health, Huntington Bank, which have been fantastic. NovaCare is our sponsor for our health and wellness expo.
Sure.
And at the Celebration Village at the end of the race, NovaCare will have a couple tents there for massages and stretching.
Oh.
They're fabulous. And of course, one of our favorite sponsors is Penguin City.
Yes.
Okay. They'll be there helping us out with Penguin City beer. They have a beer dedicated to the marathon. It's called Latterman's Dark Lager.
Okay.
And I just left there right now, and Dope Cider has also agreed to come. So we'll be having the beer there and Dope Cider, which they'll be coming out with a cider called Glacier Caramel Apple.
Okay.
So we're trying to keep everything within Mill Creek Park and Youngstown, too.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, Hannah over there has done a fantastic job kind of incorporating in the Penguin City building there. So very, very nice. So as runners, and especially people that I'm sure have run Mill Creek Park dozens, if not hundreds of times, what are your favorite aspects of either the park or the city?
I'm going to leave that up to Nicole.
Okay.
I've only ran the Youngstown Classic there.
Okay.
But Nicole has run, I think, every single race, anything from the Green Cathedral to the Classic.
Okay.
To the marathon itself.
Okay. All right.
So my favorite part is when you go from Lake Newport up and around the Silver Bridge. Well, first you hit Lantermans, and then I love that you right when you need it, there's a nice little downhill from Lantermans towards the Silver Bridge and the flats.
Okay.
And it's just really pretty, and you just feel like I'm in this city, but I'm also here with all these cool animals and these really cool sights. I've seen lots of the white deer when I've been out there so far this season. That's my favorite part. I also like the part around Lake Glacier, too. It's very, very flat. Notice I didn't say I love the hills, but you know what? I will tell you this. Every hill that goes up must come down, so
yes.
Don't worry. So my tip for hills is lean into your toes, lean forward, power up that hill. You'll get your recovery on your way down.
Okay. And when you guys are running, I know we've talked about your favorite music when you're running. Are you, I'm sure you have to listen to music at some point too.
But you know what? I've gotten into podcasts lately.
Okay.
I really have. And I listen to murder podcasts.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
And she's a doctor of psychology on top of that.
Exactly.
Well, as a psychologist, I'd like to.
You got to know your patients.
It's interesting to know how people tick, but it's funny. My last marathon, I thought I had my music ready, my podcast ready. And when the crowds were around, I wanted the music. But when I was alone, because in a marathon, you have several miles where there aren't as many people. The pack spreads out.
Right.
Sorry. So the podcast they keep you steady.
Okay.
Keep you interested instead of thinking about anything that might hurt.
That's a good point because, you know, when you listen to music, I think you get real amped up and real high, mm-hmm. and then there's got to be some sort of letdown at some point.
Well, the longer the race, so you're half in your full marathon, the key is a steady pace.
Sure.
So, you know, 5K, blast some music, sprint, whatever.
Okay.
But I found that that's what works for me, is it?
Yeah.
Find that steady pace, don't go out too fast, and, you know, use up all your gas.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Slow and steady. When's the race? Or the old cliche, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt.
Literally.
So true about that.
Yep. So out of the two of you, how many of you guys run in your careers, I guess?
I've ran three full marathons, as I said before, almost a fourth. You're on what?
I've done three marathons, and I think I lost count at 40 half marathons.
I've lost count on half marathons.
Yeah.
Too, but we both ran a really cool marathon in a race in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's called the Bay to Breakers.
Okay.
Last time I ran it, there was 60,000 participants.
Wow.
It was the 100th anniversary. Nicole ran it what?
How long ago? In 2019, and it goes from the bay in San Francisco out to the ocean. So it's roughly about 7 miles.
Wow.
What was the one thing you most remember about the race?
Let's just say that it's a very free thinking kind of race. Let's just say that not everybody wears clothes.
Oh. Okay.
So,
I mean, just letting it fly, letting it all hang out.
So funny. She was running the race and she was texting me, Joe.
I had to.
I'm at naked person number three. Joe, I'm at naked person number eight.
Yeah, it's fun. They have music, they have costumes, and some people wear funny costumes. And again, some people wear nothing. So,
yep.
Well, that. I guess as runners too, I've always heard that, like, the chafing where you got to put the Vaseline
Body
and
body,
you know,
absolutely.
So I guess that maybe that's a an advantage. I don't know. Or maybe it's a disadvantage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, I think that goes to show that as much as we all take our running and fitness seriously, that you got to have fun in life. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
honestly, I love that aspect of our race that, you know, we have our Eric Reeds out there who can just blow his last time out of the water and
sure.
just do amazing. And then we have my friends at my yoga studio who are like, is it okay if I walk it? And I'm, of course, yeah. we would love to have you.
Yeah.
And so we have every type of ability, every level of experience of runner. And we're just all together enjoying the park and each other and running yeah. and walking.
We have a double amputee, Mike Siege, that walks the 5K. And every time he crosses the finish line, there's a line of people just cheering him on and basically crying too.
That's what I love about, like, I've attended a couple marathons. Mm-hmm. I've never ran it, but the one was in Nashville and people were just like, you know, just cheering. Like it's cool because it's almost like a sport like golf in a sense of everyone's rooting for everybody else
yeah.
because
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, everybody, you know, you might race against yourself for a personal record or a best time or whatever, but if you finish a marathon, that is a life achievement
oh,
right
yeah.
there.
It's listed in Sports Illustrated as the seventh most difficult thing to do. So
I can't think of six things that are tougher than that.
Well, number one is, and you're a fan, is hitting a major league baseball.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. I mean, if you hit it 30% of the time, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
So.
Right. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, well, let's talk about your friend back here
sure.
That's hanging out.
Should I just bring him up?
Yeah, bring him up. Why not?
All right.
So you mentioned wildlife. Is this, first of
okay.
all, I don't know, male or female?
This is a female.
Okay.
This is Bella.
All
okay.
right.
She's been in Mill Creek Park.
Okay.
We are, this year our theme is wildlife. So we're going to have Bella both at our photo booth at the Health and Wellness Expo, where you could have pictures taken with her.
Okay.
And our sign there that will say, are you ready?
Okay.
Which is from the Vindy song.
Yes.
Youngstown Marathon. And we're also going to have Bella at the split of the marathon and half marathon. So she'll be there with the arrows pointing marathon this way, half that way.
Okay.
So, and as I mentioned before, our theme this year is the wildlife. So all of our bibs this year have a certain wildlife. For the full marathon, once again, it's Bella.
Mm-hmm.
For the half marathon, we have an eagle. For the 5K, we have a duck. Okay.
Very nice.
And all these are from Mill Creek Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for the superheroes kids race, we have a super squirrel.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
And even our ribbons and medals this year will feature Mill Creek Park. As you can see, that's at the Silver Bridge. And on the ribbons, you'll see
Bella.
And her friend, as well as Bella on the other side, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, everyone has something to do with Mill Creek Park. We're calling it the Majestic Run of Mill Creek Park.
Okay. All right. Great. Very,
you
very
see
nice.
Bella. You don't know.
That's right.
She may show up.
That, I mean, an albino deer is so rare. I mean,
exactly.
I've never seen her personally, but I, you know, every now and then the runners I know or the people
right.
I know that are out there always snap a picture.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've seen her through social media, but
yeah.
very, very cool.
I saw her last week. She's not shy.
No.
Oh, that's great.
I have friends that have walked up to her with food and they were eating out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So you also mentioned music.
Yes.
And my goal for next year, I don't know if it's possible, but the great Walt Disney said it, if you could dream it, you could do it.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to have the marathon, the full marathon next year.
Okay.
And then at the end of the race, hopefully maybe at Penguin City.
Okay.
Is have a concert with the Vindys.
Ooh, very nice.
So,
okay. And you had mentioned, and we're going to show the commercial as soon as I get it downloaded, but
sure.
We are, you know, that is the kind of the official song of the
ready?
Marathon.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. They do such a great job.
The Vindys were fabulous. I mean, I was in touch with Jackie as well as John Anthony. And I mean, they were so cordial. They said, yeah, go ahead and use the song. And the only thing they wanted was really a copy of the video or,
yeah.
or the commercial. So They've been fantastic.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's so cool how everything is just tied in locally. So that's great.
That's our mission is we want to benefit local nonprofits. We want to get as many hometown people as we can. Obviously, come from wherever in the country. Mm-hmm. We'll love to have you. But that's really our mission is we want to be a Youngstown event.
Absolutely. Well, and Joe and Nicole brought me so much awesome gear. I'm wearing the shirt, the hat. Over here. Is this stuff available for purchase?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's all available at Second Soul.
Okay.
And it'll also be at our Health and Wellness Expo too.
Great quality stuff. And, you know, I got a little bit of a scratchy throat today. So I'm drinking some water out of the Youngstown Marathon glass. And this is great. So how about some behind the scenes people that maybe people don't, you know, get a whole lot of recognition that maybe do some of the work? Anyone you want to give shout outs to?
For sure. Our president, Josh Boggs, who is just, he's so on top of things. He cares so much about this organization and running. Mark Lipinski, our race director, who I feel like leading up to the race probably works 24 hours a day.
And he's at Second Soul, isn't he?
He's at Second Soul.
Okay. He is. Scott Denham's our logistics, director of logistics and maps out the course. He's probably run that course probably 80 million times. Yeah. He knows it like the back of his hand. Janie Crowell, she's our treasurer and she's our volunteer coordinator who rides the course all day like a boss and brings in the last runner. Chrissy Toth is our pacer coordinator.
Okay.
Who am I missing? Candace Madden's on our board.
Right.
She's our director of community relations.
Okay.
And, of course, Steve Hickson from Second Soul.
Steve Hickson is invaluable, providing us guidance, setting us up with everything we need locally.
Yeah. I mean, our sponsors have been fabulous. They're always there to help us. Mm-hmm. Huntington Bank is just, they're there, I mean, with volunteers. They're there at the water stops. All of our water stops this year will have a theme. They could dress it a theme. And then once the runners get back, they get to vote on who has the best water stop.
Ah, okay.
And that water stop will get $250 from us. And we're also having music on throughout the marathon. The same thing will go there. The runners will vote on the music, and that group will get $250 too.
That's so awesome. I mean, it is such a process and a production that people probably have no idea how much work goes into something like this.
It's not a 1 month a year job.
No.
It's not. We work all year and we strategize a lot because we just want it to be great for everybody. We really do. When people mm-hmm. finish the race and they're like, that was awesome. That means something to us. We, you know, it's not just one athletic event. It's a, like I said, it's a whole weekend of community. Josh and Mark, I mean, they're up at what, 2 a.m. Setting up.
They're setting up right at 2:00 the morning,
yeah,
going through the park, putting up, you know, cones and barriers and so forth.
And there's 26 miles to put cones and signs on. It's a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, you know, are they, yeah, what is the, like the start time for the race if they're doing that early?
Well, the start time for the marathon and half is at 8:00.
Okay.
And then the 5K is at 8:15. On the marathon, we have a 6-hour limit. Mm-hmm. Okay. We really don't follow it that close.
Sure.
I mean, if there's still people on the course, we'll let them finish instead of sending out the meat wagon for
okay.
them. So
okay. All right. Very good. Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys would like to share maybe that I didn't touch on or, you know, that you'd want known for anyone?
I think we covered all the important parts.
Yeah.
You know, we're really working to make a community event that gives back to our community, that celebrates our community. And there's still time to register. If you want to walk the 5K, remember, it's not 5 miles, it's 3.1 miles, it's 5 kilometers. You can do it. You know, you have 6 hours to do 5K if you're worried about it. So if that helps take the pressure off, you know, come join us. There will be, I promise you, there will be other walkers. I promise you, there will be people who cheer you on.
Yep. And the best thing about it is at the end of the race, mm-hmm. for no matter what race you run, the 5K, half and full, we have Penguin City beer for you at no cost. It's there. All the pizza's there, the apples, the bananas, the bagels. So everything is provided for you.
That's so great. So great. And it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, too. And
it is.
I think for especially you said, like, the little kids that get involved too. I think that's so cool, you know, that they can have their own little fun run and, you know, you're adding those, the superheroes to it. That just makes it a lot of fun for whether you're a novice, a kid, or an expert runner like your guys, like yourselves. So
she is.
If you can, if you can finish a marathon, you are an expert runner. You have taken that next step. What, seven? What'd you say? Seventh?
Seven. The most difficult thing to do in sports.
I'd have to see that list, but I'm
1% of people have done a marathon.
Yeah, only 1% of the world population has done a marathon.
I am in the 99% that has not. So I'm in the 100. Well, I'm in the 5K percentage or 10K percentage, right. But. Yeah, that's a definite challenge, but it's so nice you offer those different options for so many people, whether, you know, whatever their expertise level is.
And next year, it's in the plans. Not only what I talked about is we're also going to have a relays for next year, too.
That
you can run the Youngstown Marathon doing a relay, so a four-person relay there.
Very nice, very nice. So, you know, if you have any questions, you had mentioned there's ambassadors. Is there certain people can reach out to for specific questions?
Absolutely. You can message us on our Facebook page, on our Instagram page. You can follow us there and you'll find the ambassadors' names. You can message me. I'll give you a discount code. And you can also contact us through our website, youngstownmarathon.com.
Very nice. Very nice. And as I mentioned before, it is a fantastic website. Go check it out. If you have interest in running this, highly, highly recommend it. And, you know, Joe and Nicole, and I know there's a bunch of people behind the scenes, all do a fantastic job. And so get out there and support if you're able to. And if you're not a runner, get out there and be a spectator and go watch and have some fun, too. So
absolutely.
So I promise we will get this video played. I'm screwing up my one of my only jobs here, but we will get that played. But before we transition off, I'm just going to put this shirt on screen. Joe, are you able to put that on screen? So we'll put that up. So you want to talk to us a little bit about the shirt there?
Sure. Once again, with the shirt, it's designed for the wildlife. As you can see, you have the eagle over top the state of Ohio with the star for the Youngstown part. We have Youngstown Marathon, and then the runners below as the eagle is guiding over the runners.
Very nice. Very nice.
Mark a shouter on this. He always does us. Mark Lipinski, he always designs the coolest shirts for us. So,
and I really like the logo. Anytime you can incorporate, Ohio's just a cool looking state.
Right.
It's just a nice way to incorporate.
It almost looks like a badge.
It does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Or a heart almost, right where your heart would be. So perfect. I love it. We're going to transition into some sports talk here in a minute. I was going to play your guys' music video from the Vindies and the Youngstown Marathon. We will play that. And if for some reason we don't, I will have it posted to our social media. And you can check it out through through obviously the Youngstown Marathon sites as well. But I want to thank again Joe and Nicole from the Youngstown Marathon for joining us.
Yeah, thank you too.
Absolutely.
You and Joe back there. So.
Yeah, Joe back there is doing a lot of great work and provides us an excellent opportunity to, highlight what you guys are doing. And also you guys in turn are helping so many agencies and organizations in our community, which is what it's all about. So
thank you.
Can't thank you guys enough. So Joe and Nicole again from the Youngstown Marathon. So we appreciate you guys.
Thanks again.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at that shirt one more time if we're able to. And again, go check that out at the Youngstown Marathon and, check out their website and get signed up if you're a runner. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, and full leaf peeping season, as they say, up in the Northeast at least. So we appreciate them coming on. And now what we normally do, so we've already had our first quarter with Austin Malutic. We've had our second quarter, which normally is our football, but we transitioned our Thursday thoughts segment to our second quarter, and our third quarter is now we're going to go into we're going to start with the Cleveland Guardians with our sports talk. Normally we get it right into the Browns and the Buckeyes, but this is big, baby. It's a playoff season, so We're going to talk some Cleveland Guardians. I was actually at the game yesterday, last game, 162 of 162. I was able to, it was a really cool experience for me. I'm just going to share a little personal note here, but my daughter, I took her to, she's 3.5, first game, great weather. She had an amazing time. So for me, that was just a blast, but the Cleveland Guardians finished the season 92 and 70. They are the third seed in the American League. So it will be the Houston Astros, the number one seed. It will be the New York Yankees, the number two seed, and the Cleveland Guardians, the number three seed. Those are the three division winners. So looking forward to the game tomorrow, which will first pitch will be roughly 12:07. And Shane Bieber is going to throw out that first pitch in the ball game tomorrow. So the matchup is all set. We're ready to go. It's exciting times in Cleveland, and it will be a very, very busy weekend in the city of Cleveland. Once again, 92 wins for the season. A lot of people predicted this Guardians team to win around 70 games this season, but now we're into the real season. They're 0-0, best of three against Tampa Bay, so a lot to look forward to. I found this stat out there yesterday. I believe it was Cleveland Stats. I want to give them credit, but 51-1 are the Cleveland Guardians, which is a 98% winning percentage when they score six or more runs in a game. 98%, 51-1 when they score six runs or more. So if they can get to the six run mark, they are basically unbeatable. So just fantastic. And to me, that was a wow statistic. Here's a little did you know. Did you know after yesterday's win, the 2022 Guardians became the only the 15th team in Major League Baseball history to earn a win-loss percentage of 800 or above as they finished the season 24-6. The last team to do that was actually the 2017 Cleveland Indians. So a very cool stat there. Another did you know, the 2022 Cleveland Guardians are the only team to have four players hit 22 or more doubles and 19 or more stolen bases. Jimenez, Kwan, Ramirez, and Straw are the four players to do that. No other team in the major leagues had had more than two players that did that on their roster. So very cool statistic there. To finish the regular season, Cleveland finished with a 3.46 team ERA, which ended up sixth best in all of Major League Baseball. Their team batting average was a .254 mark, which was seventh best in the entire major leagues. And look at this statistic. This is amazing. They finished, you're fine. I'm keeping Joe busy behind the scenes here. But they finished with an identical 46-35 record on at home at Progressive Field and on the road, which is pretty remarkable. And that is just the epitome of consistent baseball. And that is their manager, Terry Francona. Doing some great things there. Now, I'm not going to go through all the statistics of their starting lineup, but this is kind of a manufactured starting lineup that I put together that I think you could see. Now, there might be a change or two here or there, but Stephen Kwan's going to lead off Ahmed Rosario. And by the way, Stephen Kwan, probably your rookie of the year. Ahmed Rosario at shortstop was third in the major leagues in hits this year. Jose Ramirez, an MVP candidate, will be your third hitter. Oscar Gonzalez only played in like 86 or 87 games this year, put up some remarkable numbers. Josh Naylor, your all-star second baseman, Andrés Giménez. You got Owen Miller, who may or may not start. I'm not sure there. And then Austin Hedges and Miles Straw round out. Both very good defensive players for what they do lack at the plate. So, again, your starting pitchers. Now, there's only three games in this wild card series. So you're going to have Shane Bieber taking the mound in game one. You're going to have Tristan McKenzie taking the mound in game two. Both of those games, by the way, will start at 12 o'clock, which
I don't know if that's disrespectful or not. You know, you would think you make the playoffs, you get in a primetime slot, but they're obviously going to save some of those games. There will be four different series going on, but 12:07 on a Friday does not strike me as, you know, primetime for a playoff series. But you have Bieber, McKenzie, and Cal Quantrill will be your three starters. Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac will most likely be out of the bullpen or long relief if needed. But that's what it's going to look like for the first three games. Now, you look to the bullpen. The bullpen has been one of the big major strengths of this team. Emmanuel Clase led the league with 42 saves this season, 1.36 ERA. And had 77 strikeouts in 72 innings. Also a whip, which is walks and hits per inning pitched, 0.73. So that means out of every four innings he pitches, there's only three total batters that reach per inning, which is pretty amazing. Karinchak has been great. Stefan has been great. Henches has been great. And Sandlin has been great. So a very loaded bullpen with some big arms in that pen coming out. Now, the other possibilities, now they will release the postseason roster here soon, but obviously, as you know, there's a limit to how many players can be on it. So I threw out some ideas of other guys that might be on this roster. Luke Maley or Bo Naylor, one of those two will be your backup catcher. Gabriel Arias has been pretty solid as an infielder. He can play a lot of different positions. Outfielders, Will Brennan, Will Benson, two other rookies that could be thrown into the fire. And then you got some bullpen guys, De Los Santos, Eli Morgan, Nick Sandlin, and Kurt McCarty could all be possible roster additions for the Cleveland Guardians. We'll see how that goes. And Terry Francona, he's got some tough decisions to make, but in baseball or any sport, really, when you have tough decisions to make, that means you got a lot of good players. So tough decisions are good decisions in the long run. So let's take a look real quick at their opponent. The Tampa Bay used to be the Devil Rays, but you know, they have dropped the devil and they've maintained the Rays over the last few years. Luckily, Tampa, and you know, obviously we don't root for any injuries or anything like that. Not, you know, we know the hurricane went through the Florida area last week, but sounds like Tampa, I have a lot of family and friends in Sarasota, mostly were spared from the, at least the major brunt of that hurricane. So luckily, hopefully for those players, they were spared in their homes and stuff too. But back to baseball, this is a best of three series. So all three games, this is kind of neat in baseball, all three games will be in Cleveland. So no traveling. They are the higher seed, the Guardians. They won their division. They will host all three games at Progressive Field. The winner will advance to take on the number two seed, New York Yankees. And like Austin said at the beginning of the show, give me the Yankees all day long. We want the Yankees. But again, you got to take care of business in this series to ensure that you're going to play in the next round. This is the fourth consecutive, believe it or not, playoff berth for the Tampa Bay Rays. Very, very good, well-coached team. Kevin Cash is their manager. He is kind of a Terry Francona disciple. Does a really good job. And Tampa is one of those teams with a very low payroll, but does a lot with the little bit of money they spend. Head-to-head, they are four. The Guardians won four games out of the six this year, so 4-2. Their only matchup in the postseason previous to this was the 2013. It was a one-game playoff series, and Tampa won that game 4-0. This year, Cleveland outscored them 22-18 in the six games, which gave the Rays a 3.25 ERA and the Guardians a 2.73 ERA. So overall, these teams are very fairly matched. They will play a lot of very similar baseball. But, you know, I think Cleveland obviously is, I think they have a little bit more star power. Tampa has nobody on their roster that hit 20 home runs this year, which is kind of an incredible stat when you think about it, especially with the home run ball being as prolific as it is in Major League Baseball. Let's take a look real quick one more time at the starting pitching matchups. In game one, you have a great, great matchup. Shane Bieber, Cleveland's ace, against McClanahan, the Tampa Bay's ace. You have Tristan McKenzie, very good upcoming young pitcher for the Tribe against Tyler Glasnow, who used to be a Pittsburgh Pirates farmhand, one of the former top pick in the drafts. He actually had Tommy John surgery and just made his season debut just recently. I believe it was in the last 3 weeks. So he will start game two for Tampa. And in game three, Cal Quantrill will start. And then it's going to be a to be announced for Tampa. Hopefully that game doesn't need to be played because the Guardians win the first two, but we shall see. But if needed, Cal Quantrill has not lost a start at Progressive Field in his last 46 appearances. When you think about that, I think 36 of those are as a starter and 10 of those as a reliever. So Cal Quantrill pitching really, really great here. I have a lot of Cleveland Guardians stats for you guys. I was really inspired by going to the game yesterday, so I went out and dug some stuff up. So the Guardians obviously won the AL Central. That is their first time since 2018. That is their fourth AL Central title under Terry Francona in his 10 seasons. Interesting notes from the outfield. The outfield is a very good defensive outfield. They made 8 double plays, which was the most in Major League Baseball when it came to outfield double plays, which is not very common. And they had 31 outfield assists, which is when you throw a runner out at a base or double them up or whatever it might be, which was second in baseball. And then you got Emmanuel Clase, your closer, who had 42 saves, which is the most in Major League Baseball. And then just a couple more little Major League Baseball stats here. So Billy wants to talk Padres. Billy, we'll get to the Padres down the road, but we are sticking pretty much with the Guardians in this one. AL batting average leaders, we have Arraez from the Twins narrowly beat out Aaron Judge to avoid Aaron Judge getting the Triple Crown. And by the way, if you saw it, ESPN was plugging this up. Aaron Judge did hit his 62nd home run, and which is sets the American League record and the New York Yankees record from 1961, ironically, beating Roger Maris's 61. Stephen Kwan and Jimenez were right there in the top 10 in batting average, 298 and 297. AL home run leaders, you can see Aaron Judge. No one was within 22 home runs of him, which is quite remarkable. And then Ramirez just missed out on the top 10. I believe he finished with 29 home runs. AL RBI leaders, Jose Ramirez was second right behind Aaron Judge with 126. Ahmed Rosario was third in the American League in hits with 180. Jose Ramirez led the American League in doubles with 44. And then the Guardians had two players finish in the top two, Ahmed Rosario with 9 and Stephen Kwan with 7. And here's another crazy stat. The second baseman, Andrés Giménez, led the American League and set the new Cleveland baseball record for most hit by pitch in a season, 25. At the game yesterday, he got hit with his 25th pitch of the season. I can't even imagine getting hit with 1, let alone 25. That will definitely put a few bruises on you, too. So we'll take a look real quick at the bracket here. We have the Guardians and the Rays. They will take on whoever wins that series will take on the Yankees, and the Mariners and Blue Jays will take on the Astros. If you look to the National League, here's your San Diego Padres, Billy. They will take on the New York Mets in the 5-4 matchup, and the Philadelphia Phillies will take on the St. Louis Cardinals. The winner of that series gets the Atlanta Braves, and the winner of San Diego and New York will take on the number one seeded LA Dodgers. So that's a look at baseball. That's a little bit more baseball talk than we're used to, but a lot of great stuff. And however this season ends, whether it ends with a World Series title or whether it ends in a wild card loss, this season was a major victory for Cleveland baseball. Remember at the beginning of the season, all these people were like, oh, I can't stand the name Guardians. I can't stand this or that. That's fine. Call them the Indians, call them the Tribe, call them whatever you want. But again, the major thing that's most important is the name Cleveland on the front of the jersey. So you're rooting for the Cleveland baseball team, and what a remarkable season they have had thus far. Let's go to one of the other teams in Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns. They will take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Joe, I have a question for you. So actually, either Joe, I'm gonna throw this out to both of you. The LA Chargers. I'm gonna give you a two-headed answer here. So one of these is true, one of these is false. The Los Angeles Chargers were named from the owner bought the team, and he named the team this because of one of two reasons. One, he owned a credit card company and you use a charge card. Or two, he liked going to baseball games so much that they would, in the Oregon, they would play da-da-da-da-da-da, charge. So one of those two reasons is true. Which reason is it?
I'm going to go with the Oregon.
That is correct. That is correct. It is a, yes. A faux pas that he owned a credit card company and then named the team the Chargers. So, interesting.
If it was a female that owned the Chargers, I would have said their credit card.
Now, that's profiling, Joe. We don't like to do that on this show.
Don, my wife, I'm just kidding.
I'm just messing with you. No, that's some good stuff there. So, I just thought that was interesting. So, I thought I'd throw that out to you. So, let's take a look at the AFC North this week. We got the Browns. Obviously, they're taking on the Chargers. The Ravens are battling the Bengals, both 2-2. And the Steelers, listen to this. The Steelers are a 14-point underdog. You know the last time the Steelers were a 14-point underdog? Anyone have a year? I don't have the exact year, but how about a decade?
Really?
Decade? Since they were a 14-point underdog.
So we're talking like 2012?
Oh, we're talking before that. It was before I was born. I'll give you that much of a hint. I was born in the 80s.
Wow.
It was in the 1970s. The last time they were a 14-point underdog. So, and they were pretty good in the 70s. So I think there was a year early 70s.
Yeah, because in the 70s when they won those Super
Bowls. Yeah, they won a lot of Super Bowls then. So I just thought that was interesting fact there. So, yeah. Yeah. So very interesting there. Let's take a look real quick at the Browns before we go on to the, am I holding anybody up, by the way?
No, I'm leaving. He's
going to
fill in for me.
Okay. So thank you, Joe. Joe, I'm going to have you send me your NFL picks too later. Okay. All right. Or you know what? You'll take Joe's place this right. weekend for, I'm going to have you make some NFL picks for me. So it's still a Joe pick. There we go. Yeah. So the Cleveland Browns this week will take on the Chargers. I'm going to focus a little bit on their offense and defense. The Browns right now are scoring 26.3 points, which is sixth best in the NFL. You would think they would have a better than a 2-2 record. They should be 3-1. Let's just say that. They should be 4-0. Yeah. but the Browns are averaging only 207.5 passing yards a game, which is 25th, but they're also not attempting a whole lot of throws. They are rushing the ball, however, for 187.3 yards per game, which is second best in the NFL. Nick Chubb is also the second leading rusher in the NFL. You got Saquon Barkley, 463 yards. Nick Chubb, 459. And then the next guy is Miles Sanders of Philadelphia, who's at 356, so way, way behind. And then defense for the Browns, not quite as pretty right now. They are doing a nice job in the first three quarters of the game, but the Browns statistically are the worst defense in the NFL in the fourth quarter right now. And obviously that's due to many of the blown coverages. But opponents' points per game, the Browns are giving up 23.8. So they're scoring. They're still outscoring their opponents by 2.5 points a game. So again, another reason they should be 4-0 or 3-1 or whatever you want to say. Opponents' yards per game, they're only giving up 326 yards per game, which is ninth best in the entire NFL. Opponents passing, 113 yards per game, which is 19th. That's for rushing. Let me flip-flop that. 113 yards rushing and 212 yards passing, which is 13th best in the league. Now, let's take a look at the I still want to say San Diego Chargers, but the LA Chargers, San Diego, you know?
Chargers, right. In fact, one of my favorite ball players of all time was Lance Allworth.
Really?
Number 19, he was noted as Bambi. I mean, what a great receiver.
My, and like, maybe just from a different era, one of my favorite football players growing up was LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay.
And he was just such a good, good running back.
And they have one of the best uniforms.
They do. Maybe the prettiest uniform in all of football.
I agree.
But let's dirty up that uniform, hopefully, on Sunday and get them to the ground. So let's take a look at the LA Chargers. And as Joe mentioned, from the Oregon is how they got their nickname. Their offense per game, rushing. They are last in the league in rushing, believe it or not. But they don't rush it a whole lot. Right. They're only averaging 64.5 yards rushing per game, which is 32nd out of 32nd. Guess where they are for passing, ranked out of 32. They are number one. 312.5 yards passing per game. I believe they're the only team over 300 yards a game. I have to double check that, but they are first in passing, last in rushing. Yep. So you know what you're going to get from this team. It's a matter of, are you able to stop it? Yep. So their key players, they're averaging, by the way, 23 points per game this season. Their key players, obviously, you got the quarterback, Justin Herbert, former first-round pick, sixth round out of Oregon, or sixth overall pick out of Oregon. Just an elite quarterback, one of your top 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks in the entire league and has a ton of upside only in his third year. Austin Eckler, the running back, doesn't run it a whole lot, but I believe he is like third in the NFL in receptions out of the backfield, which is pretty great. You had mentioned Mike Williams, a fantasy stud.
Yeah, one of my fantasy players.
He is just he is just a very high level deep ball threat.
Yes.
He gets open and he is a big guy.
Yeah.
So he can, you know, generally when you're a corner, you want those, 5'9", 5'10", 5'11" guys that have the quick hips mm-hmm. and twitch. But when you get matched up on a 6'4" guy like Mike Williams, that's a tough matchup for those corners. You also have Keenan Allen, who has missed a lot of time this year. He is questionable for this game. Their big left tackle, Rashawn Slater, is out for the season. And then a cool local tie is the guy that's snapping the ball to Justin Herbert is Corey Linsley, a Boardman High School grad and an Ohio State Buckeye grad. Yeah. So very cool there for, and arguably one of the best centers in all of football, if not the best center in all of football. And he was banged up a little bit. I'm not sure his status, but I believe he is playing for Sunday. And I'm sure in front of probably many family and friends will be Corey Linsley. The defense for the LA Chargers, they are kind of middle of the pack here, but they're allowing 27 points a game, which is third worst in the NFL right now. But they're middle of the pack in rushing and passing, allowing about 110 rushing yards a game, 240 passing yards a game. This is a team that you will be able to run on. And they have a lot of big names on defense, but they're not necessarily playing like it. Joey Bosa out right now, obviously the great player from Ohio State. Khalil Mack, we might remember, former first-round pick there, does a lot of great things, leading them in sacks. Safety, Derwin James, J.C. Jackson, Sebastian Joseph Day, Asante Samuel, and Kyle Van Noy are some key players to look out for. I'm going to throw out some better or worse on our social media, so you'll be able to check that out. And then Myles Garrett, who was in that awful car accident just over about a week and a half ago, so we're only about 10 days out. He returned to practice yesterday and by all accounts looked great. So hopefully he's able to get back. The Chargers do not give up very many sacks for how many times they drop back to pass. But he is only a half a sack behind Clay Matthews for the Browns all-time sack leader. So he gets one sack. He takes that lead in Cleveland Browns history. And that will only be his 72nd game played. It took Clay Matthews 232 to get to that number. So he is just a physical freak, and we're obviously glad he is back healthy. Joe, you want to pick some games with me?
Sure.
We're just going to go straight up. Straight up, no points, just straight up. So let's start with tonight's game. You got Indianapolis traveling to Denver.
And Jonathan Taylor is out.
He is out.
So I'm going to go with Denver.
You're going to go with Denver. I think both of these teams have been huge disappointments far this year. No doubt. And for whatever reason, I used to really like Russell Wilson. I can't stand him. I don't know why. He annoys me.
He's my backup fantasy player. I mean,
he's just a weird dude. He really is.
Yes.
So I am out on the Denver Broncos, even though I had them as making the playoffs as the seventh seed this year. So I'm going to go the Colts to win this game. So you're going Broncos, and I'm going Colts. So we're opposite on this one. Giants it's technically it's a home game for Green Bay, but Giants and Packers, this game is in London at 9:30 right. on Sunday. So Giants and Packers.
Packers.
Yeah, Packers, yeah. I think, big in this game. Let's go with this game, Chargers and Browns.
My heart is telling me the Browns. Mm-hmm. My brain is telling me the Chargers. So if I was putting money down and I'm not, Chargers.
Okay. With the spread, if you had to pick the game with the spread, 2.5, does that change your mind at all?
I can't believe it's that low.
It is low.
Right. I really can't. No, that doesn't change your mind.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with the Chargers, and I feel like either way I win, because if I win, then, you know, I get another win in the win column. But if I lose, then the Browns win, and that's a good thing.
It's
so
almost like a lose for a win-win.
Right, exactly. So we're both on the Chargers for that. We have the Lions. Oh, and by the way, the Chargers and Browns last year also played in Week 5. That was the highest scoring game in the NFL all of last season. So fun fact there. We have the Lions at the Patriots.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Lions.
I am going Lions as well.
Really?
I love the Lions as long as it's not a 1 or 2 point game. They can't seem to win those, but I think Mac Jones is still out.
Yeah,
and the Lions are a high flying team, but also giving up the most points in the NFL this year. So if they can hold the Patriots somewhat in check, we both like the Lions. All right. A matchup of two teams going in maybe opposite directions. You have the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars, kind of playing pretty well this year.
I'm going with Jacksonville.
Yep. So we both like Jacksonville in that game. Atlanta, obviously we know Atlanta from last week. Atlanta at a very disappointing so far Tampa Bay Buccaneer team.
Well, Brady is going through a so-called divorce now.
Yep.
So that's going to be playing on his mind mentally. But I'm still going to go with Tampa Bay.
I think we're in agreement on a lot of these picks, except for the first one. I like Tampa as well, even though I haven't looked at the line, but I probably like Atlanta to cover and Tampa Bay to win. Yeah, so right. Next one, the Steelers and the Bills. We already talked about the line. So,
well, the Bills are my pick for the Super Bowl
this
year, and I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah, you got Kenny Pickett making his first start. Yeah. Should be interesting. I know the Steeler fans love him, but I think Buffalo is just the superior team. So
fans love him, and they're the Pitt fan.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Friend of ours.
Exactly. So we're both on the Bills in that game. The Tua-less Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets.
I'm going with the Jets.
Okay. Very nice. Jets have beat both the Browns and the Steelers for their two wins this year. I'm going to go with the Dolphins in this game. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a very good backup quarterback. And I think the Dolphins just have better weapons. So we're opposite in that game. All right. Bears at the Vikings.
I'm going with the Vikings.
Okay. I think the Vikings are the better roster. I think it's a tragedy what the Bears team has done to Justin Fields.
I agree 100%.
It is so frustrating as a Buckeye fan to know the talent that kid has, and to give him no weapons or no protection is just awful. At least Joe Burrow has no offensive line, but he's got these great wide receivers. But Fields has neither of them, and his numbers show, because
they're going to ruin him.
They really are. He's going to be worn out by end of year two.
It's almost like the quarterback that was with the Browns when they first came.
Tim Couch. Yeah, exactly. You give him no support and you can't succeed with that.
Yeah.
All right, next game. We have the Tennessee Titans at the Washington Commanders.
I'm going to go with the Titans.
I'm going to go with the Titans as well. I think Washington just stinks.
Yeah.
Seattle at the New Orleans Saints.
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Saints.
Okay. I've always liked the Saints. I don't know why. They're kind of been like my, city is fantastic. And I love that they have a ton of Buckeyes on their roster.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
You know, it's just so cool how many Ohio State Buckeyes play. And Chris Olave is lighting it up for them.
Isn't he?
He is playing so, so well. So we're both on the Saints for that one. More games on Sunday. We have five more games left. The 49ers at the Baker Mayfield-led Carolina Panthers.
I don't want to say no doubt, but it's San Francisco.
100% San Francisco. Baker Mayfield is the 32nd out of 33 eligible quarterbacks
right
now. So he is not doing well, and there's some boos starting to come out in Carolina. All right, next one, matchup of the birds. You got the Eagles at the Cardinals.
Man, the Eagles are just playing so well, so, so well. But it's so tough to keep Kyler, you know, pinned in.
Mm-hmm.
Even saying that, I'm going with the Eagles.
I'm going with the Eagles too to remain undefeated, and they're playing some great football right now. All right, this is one of the last regular games on Thursday. We got the Cowboys at the defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams.
The Rams.
Rams. I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this one. So we're going to differ on this. I think he's playing good football. I guess it's kind of Cooper against Cooper. The Rams have just not looked like themselves so far this year. I can't pinpoint it, but I like what the Cowboys are doing. The Rams are probably the better team, and that's probably the smarter bet. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys just to be different here. Sunday night, we have the Bengals at the Ravens. So an AFC North division rivalry game.
I'm going with my heart, the Bengals.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I just think they're a little bit better. The Ravens have – their defense should be better than it is. It kind of stinks. And Lamar Jackson is just playing all world right now. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. Joe is on the Bengals. And that should be a good Sunday night football game. And then Monday night, we have the – Las Vegas, that's another team I have trouble just remembering. They're in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, for the longest time, the Raiders have been like my second favorite team.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
back to the day when Fred Biletnikoff was there.
Yep.
I can remember a picture of him in Sports Illustrated during practice. He was sitting on his helmet, all that stickum up and down his arm, and smoking a cigarette. I mean, that's a Raider, right? But even saying that, I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are just too good. And I know the Raiders got their first win last week, but they have been a struggling football team. So should be interesting. So I will put those picks out there for people on social media, and we'll see how we do going into next week. All right, let's switch. Let's spend about 5 minutes before we get out of here on college football. You have Ohio State at Michigan State. Ohio State coming in 5-0, 3-0 in Big Ten play. You got Michigan State at 2-3, mm-hmm. and 0-2 in Big Ten play. The Buckeyes lead the all-time series in this matchup, 35-15. The spread, I think we talked about it before the show. Do you know what the spread is?
26.5.
At last look. And the total in this game is 64.5 points, which – last year, I think Ohio State almost could have met themselves in that game. But listen to this. Since 2017, take a guess at the average score since 2017 of this game. So Ohio State what, and Michigan State what, roughly?
I'm going to say something like 38-17.
43-7, pretty much.
Wow.
So it's 43.2 to 7.6 if you average them up from 2018 to last year. Just a remarkable run. If you remember last year, I think it was 42-0 at halftime, mm-hmm. Ohio State, and they just put that game to bed. And I think, this is just my thinking, I think that could have been the worst thing for Ohio State going into that Michigan game last year, because they came in with a big head and just, you know, didn't put it all together, unfortunately. But listen to some of these numbers. Ohio State offense is averaging 531.2 yards per game. 531.2. Michigan State's offense, 380.4 yards a game. Their defenses are basically flipped. Ohio State is only giving up 276 yards per game. Michigan State, 426 yards a game. So should be an Ohio State beat down once again. So we will see. Michigan State started out the year 2-0 and has lost their last three. They lost to Washington. Then they lost to Minnesota. And last week they lost to Maryland. So should be 2-4, and Mel Tucker, we'll see what he does. But
and that Ohio State offense is just unbelievable.
It's a machine.
I mean, it is. It's just unbelievable.
And you look at who they've been missing. They've been missing Smith and Jigba the whole season, minus like 30 snaps.
Their best receiver.
Yeah.
And saying that,
and
look at them.
And Travion Henderson, who was a Heisman candidate coming into this year, really has only played in two games. Yeah. So just some amazing stuff. And it just shows you when you recruit at that level, your backups are starters, you know, just amazing players.
So do you think CJ's a leading candidate for the Heisman now?
I think he kind of has struggled. He struggled a tiny bit.
Last week he only
put up like 160 yards or something. Yeah. And he has thrown an interception in one each in the last two games against Wisconsin and against Rutgers. But I think he's kind of sleepwalking a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to kick it into gear this week, and they're going to put up. Right. I think it's going to be another. I'm going to say he throws for 5 touchdowns this week. So how about you? What do you think?
I agree 100% with you.
Yeah. And do you think he's the Heisman favorite?
I do. There's no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm. I think Bryce Young would be up there, but he struggled a little bit against Texas.
And he's injured too.
Yeah, and he's injured. Yeah. And honestly, he doesn't have the weapons he had last year, so he's not going to put up those huge statistics. Right. But should be interesting. Some notable games also from this weekend. You got ranked versus ranked, TCU at Kansas. Kansas has won like 5 games in the past like 4 years. They're 5-0 this year. And that's where College Game Day is going to be at this year, or at this week.
Who's their quarterback?
Oh,
he's been getting a lot of good reviews.
He's up there in the Heisman talk right now. I don't think it's going to finish that way. His name's escaping me right now, but he has been putting up some really, really nice numbers for that team. You also have number 8 Tennessee traveling to LSU to play this weekend. That should be a good game. Another ranked versus ranked. You got Utah, number 11, traveling to the Rose Bowl, which nobody goes to except unless it's the Rose Bowl to play UCLA. Auburn and Georgia. Georgia really snuck by with a close one last week. You got BYU and Notre Dame playing. I believe that game's in the Raiders Stadium in Vegas. You got Texas A&M, who knocked off Alabama last year, going to number 1 Alabama. I don't think that's going to be as good of a contest as they have. Yeah. They have. And they were preseason number 6, and they lost to Appalachian State. And I'm trying to think who they just lost to, but they've been a struggling football team. And then you got Florida State traveling to North Carolina State. And some games from the 330 in college football. Obviously, you got Youngstown State right down the road from us. They're going to play the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Now, when you say the North Dakota, those Dakota teams, I mean, it's North Dakota State, North Dakota, South Dakota, South Dakota State. So you can get them a little bit mixed up. North Dakota State is kind of the main dog. But North Dakota is none of these Dakota teams are any joke. So I think there's not a whole lot of sites that put out lines for FCS teams, but I believe YSU was a 2-point favorite. That will be a 6 p.m. kickoff at the Ice Castle. Kent State, also from the 330, traveling to Miami of Ohio. You got the Akron Zips going to Athens to play on the Ohio Bobcats. And then you got homecoming at Mount Union. Mount Union hosts Heidelberg, and we obviously know Mount Union is an absolute machine down there in Alliance. Big Ten slate, obviously you got the Buckeyes at the Spartans. You got Nebraska at Rutgers. That game is tomorrow night. That's a Friday night game. You got Purdue at Maryland, Wisconsin, who just fired their head coach, at Northwestern. You got Iowa at Illinois and Michigan at Indiana. And the two teams on bye this week are Minnesota and Penn State. Penn State up to number 10 in the rankings. So the Big Ten only has 3 ranked teams right now. Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, Penn State 10. So very top heavy, and they're all on the eastern side of the division. The western side of the division has been an absolute mess. So we shall see. But that is our show for today. Joe, I appreciate you joining. Appreciate you. Talking the Youngstown Marathon and then a lot of sports. Yeah. So we appreciate you and Nicole, and I love the gear. I will support this. We're going to put it out on our social media platform. And obviously, my apologies for not having the right Vindy's commercial, but we will get that out to you on our social media platforms. Make sure to check out Youngstown Studio 330 Sports page and follow the Youngstown Marathon on all their social media platforms. So for Joe Danier, for Joe Midlick, we appreciate you guys, and we will see you guys next week. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk soon.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, seriously.
Had a great time.
Me too. Didn't expect this. That was great. So I saw on Facebook that you might be doing a horror show.
A horror show. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, be careful.